Amen. You guys know this one, so sing along with me. I saw Satan fall like lightning, and I saw darkness run for cover. And but the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Come on. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Come together, sons and daughters, fought with blood and washed with water, and sing the spirits of our Father, Son, and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started. Come on, sing it. This is our testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, if I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not. You're not.
God, we lift you up. We give you honor, Father. Because of you, we are victorious. You are our champion, Father God. You are.
sing along. Champion. He is our champion. Here we go.
I've tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it, and you take the broken ways and raise them to glory. You are my champion. The giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
Your hands and your heart in the right place and just praise with me, because we're going to bring in this next part and you all sing it out with us. When, here we go, when I lift.
When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. Come on. When I open up my mouth, miracles come breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. Come on. Breaking out, I have the authority.
Jesus has given me. Come on.
When I open up my mouth, miracles come breaking out. I have the authority. Jesus has given me.
Come on, one more time. Open it up.
Open up my mouth. Miracles come breaking out. I have the authority. Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles come breaking out. I have the authority. Jesus has given me.
Here we go.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. In the heavenly place, undefeated. In the one that I take it all. In the one that conquered it all. Oh,
the one that conquered it all.
Hallelujah. 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 I don't know if you know what you're singing. I don't know if you know that you're singing about an actual event that took place. There's an actual event that is described in the Word of God that talks about Jesus taking captivity captive and coming before the Father and having all victory because He is our champion. He is our champion. And I was reading in the Word this morning, and the Bible says that when Jesus was in the house, when they were going to let the four friends were going to let the man down through the roof, it says that there was a surge of power that was available. And I feel it today, family. I feel it today. I feel a surge of the power of God. And when we begin to sing about the victories, these are not victories for other people. These are victories for us. And I sense the Spirit of God saying that there is a surge in this place to see victories in every area of your life. And so whatever it is, if it's in your family or in your relationships, if it's in your finances or in your body, I want you to lift it today. Because there is a surge of power that is flowing in this place. And it was not, there were certain people that were in the room with Jesus. And all they did was they were observing. And they were critiquing. They were critiquing, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were critiquing what Jesus was doing. But those four men who brought their sick friend who was desperate, they weren't critiquing. They were just getting into a surge of what was available to them. And so right now, I want you to just lift your hands and say, Lord, just surge. Let the surge of your power just flow through me. I thank you, Father, for victories. There are going to be battles that are won for once and for all today. Say, I receive that. I'll never fight that battle again. I win it today. There's healing that's won today. I receive it. Say, I receive it. I receive it. Healing. Deliverance in my family. Relationships restored. There's victory. Say, victory. Say, you're my champion. You know, family, this is what it is. It's not that He is the champion and we're just observing. We are seated in heavenly places where He is. Amen. We are in a place undefeated, right? Thank you, Jesus. Right now, whatever it is that you need, if you still feel you need to come forward for healing, there is healing available. There is power to heal in this place. Those that are watching online right now, I just release the surge of the anointing into your situation, into your family, into your finances, into your body right now, that cancers dry up at the root, that healing flows forth speedily in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Family, we got to tap in to what God's doing. We got to tap in to the things of the Spirit, because it's not all about what goes on up here or what goes on here, but you got to sense what God is doing and reach out and grab whatever it is. And there's victory in this place today. We got to go out of here with a spring in our step, because we're going to know it's settled and done. Amen. Anyone agree with me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At this time in the service, we're going to sing one more beautiful song. Sing it with your whole heart to the Lord. Believe this over your family, your children, their children. But our prayer team are going to line up here, and we're full of faith. We want to pray for you. If there's anything you need prayer for, step out of your seat and come forward, and we'll agree with you. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord bless and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Come on, agree with heaven with me. Come on. Children and their
children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family and your children and their children and their children.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family and your children.
Children and their children. Hallelujah. You don't know. I think we underestimate the power of prayer and the power of declaring the word of God over us and over our families. Amen. When you say, that's for me, I take that for me. I take that blessing for my house, for my family, for my children, for their children. There's untold things that God can do in your life. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just turn and greet someone, say, good to see you, and you may be seated. welcome to Ascend Church. Don't we have the most awesome worship team? Phenomenal. Come on. They really put everything into that. And they're the ones who, you know, when the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. We don't have praise and worship just to take up some time or give you time to go to Starbucks. It's for us to really get into the presence of God. Amen. It sets the atmosphere. But welcome to everyone that's present. Welcome to our online viewers from around the world. Our Ascend Church members that are not back at church yet. We miss you. We love you. We're looking forward to seeing you soon. And I want to welcome our first-time guests, anyone who's here for the first time today. I don't know how you came. Perhaps someone invited you, or you just drove by from the gym and you saw us. But we're glad that you're here. So we'd like to welcome our first-time guests. The way we do that, our ushers would like to just hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. Welcome. Come on. Welcome. So good you're here. Thank you. Just raise it again so the ushers can see you. If they didn't get to you yet, they'll get to you. In that visitor packs, a couple of things. One being a teaching that we hope would encourage and uplift you during the week. But there is a card that says guest, and we ask you to just take a moment and fill that out. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. If you would drop that visitor card in, it gives Pastor Steve an opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. And we'd love for you to just hang around in the lobby for a minute afterwards. Pastor Steve and I will make our way right there to just say hi and greet you. So thank you for being here today. I want to remind you that there are four different platforms on which you can watch us. There's our website, which is ascendchurch.us. There's our mobile app, which if you don't have it, we want to come to one of us. We'll show you how to download it. It's got a wealth of sermons and blogs and all shareable. It's really a great treasure to have. And then YouTube, it's Ascend Church Jupiter, if you're looking for the message there. And then, of course, on Facebook, the Ascend Church page. So also, we want to say, if you would share us, it's a way for you to reach out with the word. You know, it's come to the place where church does not just happen in the building. Let me tell you, just between you and me, there's no place better than having church in a building. I love to meet with people physically. However, you're able to share this live stream on Facebook. Go ahead and do that. You'll reach into family and friends and share the word with them. Comment where you're watching from, those that are watching. Please send prayer requests. We'll pray for you. And thank you for giving online. It's very simple for those that are watching. There's a link on the Facebook a live stream where it shows you how to give. For those who are on our website or on our app, there's a button that says give, and it's really simple. Just follow through. We appreciate you doing that. Just to mention, we have a Spanish translation at every service. So if you have someone who is not that fluent in English and would prefer to hear it in Spanish, we have instructions. Just let us know and we'll show you exactly how to do it. We have someone translating as Pastor Steve speaks. So that's also available on YouTube and on our website. Right? And I want to just remind you lastly of the four purposes of our church. The first is that we would know God. I'm always seeking to know God more. You know, you just have to read one chapter of the Bible and you feel like you know something more about the Lord that you didn't know before, right? And the second is to find freedom in every area of your life. The third is to discover your purpose. And lastly, we want you to help you make a difference with your life. Amen. Praise God. Welcome, Pastor Steve.
Thank you. I know when you turn and look at me, that's my cue, right? That's my cue. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. So glad you are here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad to see you. Did you tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today? I'm glad I'm sitting next to you today. have the honor of sitting next to you. All those watching online today, we're so glad that you joined us. Wherever you may be, we have people watching from around the world. Please, won't you comment where you're watching from? If you're watching on Facebook, put a comment there where you're watching from. As my wife said, go ahead and share this. We want to try and reach as many people as we can. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you right now, I like our new lights. Did you notice the new lights up on church? And we finished all the chairs, and we added some chairs, and we got a platform for the cameras, and things are happening. You know, we are going to be, we're going on to Fox 29 in 2 weeks' time. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be on Fox 29 every Sunday at 7:30 a.m. 7:30 a.m. So it'll be at 7:30 a.m. on Sundays on Fox 29 will be Pastor Steve Barry. At 8 o'clock on Fox 29 is Christ Fellowship. I'm giving them a free plug. And then at 8:30 is Pastor David Crank. So that's the lineup on Sunday morning. And so we're excited. 2 weeks we'll be on Fox. And I hope you'll watch. I hope you'll tell people. I hope you'll pray. Please pray. We are praying that this television program will reach many people for the Lord. We'll reach many people for Jesus. That's what we're praying. Amen. I also want to tell the band, you did an awesome job today. You did a great, awesome job. We have a guest drummer filling in for Muff today. And thank you for doing that. Muff is visiting his mom, I think, isn't he? He's out of town, right? Is he at his mom's house today? So he's out of town. And I also want to thank all of our, we call them servant leaders. All of our servant leaders who serve today in God's house. Let me just tell you, we couldn't do it without you. We're a team. And I want to say thank you to our volunteers who serve in our kids' ministry today. The kids are having a great time back there. And I want to thank our ushers and our greeters, everyone who came to join us for prayer this morning. And I especially want to just thank our media team. They've really stepped up to a whole new level. And I want to thank you for all your help. We had some of the guys who were here at 7:30 this morning. Miguel, I think, and Mark, and I think Monique and Chester. A lot of the team were here real early. We appreciate it, man. They're fired up. We've got two media teams now, Team A, Team B, and we've got a different team this week from last week. We're training people. So thank you for serving in God's house. And I want you to know that every life that is impacted on because of the television program, every life that is touched, you have a part in that. God is going to reward you for your part that you played in helping reach people. Isn't that right? So thank you to our volunteers. We appreciate you so much. Father, we thank you today for another opportunity to gather in your house. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, we give you all the glory for everything that is said and done. Lord, I thank you for every person here today. I pray that you will speak to our heart, that we will come to know you better, that we will find more freedom, that we'll discover our purpose. Make a difference, Lord, through your word today, in Jesus' name, and amen. If you agree with that, say amen. Now take a look around. I want you to turn and take a look around. Turn and take a look around, because you see those, there's some empty chairs. Very soon, you're not going to see any empty chairs in this church. Very soon, you're not going to see any empty chairs. In fact, very soon, get ready. If you don't get to church early, you won't get a seat. I'm declaring it in the name of Jesus. And you know what? Say this. Say, thank you, Lord. We believe that our church is filled. Every seat is occupied. Say, thank you, Lord, for using me to bring people to church. Say, I'm bringing people to church. Every single Sunday, God is using me to reach others for Him in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead. Are you ready for God's word today? I'm ready. Are we ready? Praise the Lord. Well, Good morning. I'm Steve Barry. I am the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter in Florida. And if you live anywhere nearby, I want to invite you. We would love to have you come visit us. I promise you, you'll feel so welcome. Our people in our church are so friendly, and we'd love to see you. But thanks for watching today. Today, if you are interested in seeing good days, living a long, prosperous life, then stay tuned. Keep watching, because that's what I'm going to talk about today. I want to speak about don't speak evil. Tell your neighbor, don't speak evil. And this is a word the Lord really put in my heart. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 10, the scripture says, it says, for the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. If you want to see many happy days, in fact, other translations say, if you want to see many good days. If you want to see, how many want to see good days in your life? If you want to see good days, happy days, long life, it says, verse 11, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. It says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Now, the Passion Bible says, stop speaking evil, hurtful words. So notice that God connects seeing good days with don't speak evil. If you want to see good days and you want to enjoy life, don't speak evil. Now, Peter was actually quoting a psalm written by David in Psalm 34. That's why it says, for the scriptures say. Peter was quoting David. In Psalm 34, verse 12, David said, who is the man who desires life and loves many days or many good days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. You see, David knew that if you want to see good days, you must keep your tongue from speaking evil. Now, because speaking evil can cause God to turn his face away from you. I don't want God to turn his face away from me. I want God's face to be turned toward me. You know, your prayers can go unanswered by speaking evil. What is speaking evil? What is that, Pastor Steve, speaking evil? Speaking evil is when you judge and criticize other people, that's speaking evil. How do I know that? I know it because the Bible tells me so. That's how I know everything in my life. James 4, verse 11, don't criticize and speak evil about each other. Don't criticize and speak evil about each other. If you do, you'll be fighting against God's law of loving one another. How many of you know we've only got one law we live by? The law of love. Jesus said, if you fulfill the law of love, you fulfill all the law. He says, and if you criticize and speak evil, you're fighting against God's law of loving one another, declaring it wrong. Your job is not to decide whether the law of love is right or wrong. Our job is to obey it. Only he who made the law can rightly judge among us. He alone decides to save us or destroy. So what right do you have to judge or criticize others? Say, I got no right to judge or criticize other people. Let me tell you, speaking ill of God's servants can bring God's judgment on you. It actually can lead to sickness and even death. Now, that may seem harsh to you, but it's the truth. God said, if you love life and you want to see good, happy days, you must keep your tongue from speaking evil. The reverse of that is, if you don't love your life and if you don't want to see good days, then keep on speaking bad about people. But I want to see good days. How about you? See, what we don't always realize is when we allow the enemy to deceive us into saying hurtful, critical things about people, we are actually poisoning our own future. We're actually hurting ourselves. Sometimes we think we're just harming the person that we're speaking about, but in reality, we're doing much more damage to our own life. Amen? Some will say, well, Pastor Steve, we're in an era of grace, and the grace of God covers everything. And yes, we are in a season of grace, but that doesn't mean that we can continue in sin and expect God's grace to abound. The Apostle Paul, who was the preacher of grace, he said in Romans 6, verse 1, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we've died to sin, how can we continue to live in it anymore? Say, I died to sin. Paul also said in Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, that's the law. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. It says, he who sows to his flesh will reap from his flesh. He'll reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We're going to reap what we sow. So I'm going to reap what I sow. If we are hard and judgmental and critical about people, then get ready, because that's what we're going to reap in our life. If you want to see good days and you want to prosper and you want to live long, then here's a big secret. Learn to keep your mouth shut. And I'm learning it myself. I'm preaching to me too. I recently read something that Kenneth Hagin said that I never heard before. And Jill and I graduated from Rhema Bible College in 1982. We were 18 years old. Rhema Bible College was founded by Kenneth E. Hagin. There's a picture of me at graduation. Still got pimples on my face. and then, did you show the picture of Kenneth Hagin? So now, Jill and I graduated from Rhema, and I've been studying Kenneth Hagin's books and teachings for almost 40 years. But I'd never heard what I'm about to tell you. I'd never heard it before, and it really impacted me. I just heard this a few weeks ago. And so here's what Kenneth Hagin said. When he was a young pastor and he was overseeing a small church in North Texas, there was a minister in a large city about 45 minutes away, a much larger church. And this minister, this pastor, got into some difficulty. And he was fired from his church. And so later, during the sectional convention, one of the district superintendents was preaching in the morning service in this convention, and he mentioned the situation about what happened with his pastor. He didn't call the man's name, but everybody knew who he was talking about. And he just condemned the man. I mean, he just preached him into hell, so to speak. And so some of the men who couldn't be in that morning service, afterwards, they asked Kenneth Hagin about it later on. And they said, Brother Hagin, what do you think about it? Was that minister right in what he said about the other man, about the other minister? And Kenneth Hagin, this is what he said. He said, yes, I concur with him. In other words, I agree. That's all he said. Yes, I agree. They asked him what that man said about the other minister when he was preaching. Was he right? Yes, I agree. About 2 weeks later, Kenneth Hagin's wife and his kids went to visit his in-laws, and he was going to join them. He just had to attend some church business. And so when his wife and kids were gone, he was preparing to go to bed, and he put the light out. He knelt on the floor next to his bed, and he was going to pray before he went to sleep. And suddenly, the whole room lit up. You know, the Bible talks about when Saul was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, suddenly Jesus appeared to him and a bright light shone. The Bible says the light was brighter than the noonday sun. That's what happened when Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. He was going to arrest Christians and he saw this bright light. Well, that's what happened with Kenneth Hagin. Suddenly the room lit up. It was bright like that. The room was brighter than when the bulb was on. I mean, he could see every piece of furniture. And then out of the brightness, he heard a voice. And the voice said, who are you to condemn another man's servant? Who are you to condemn another man's servant? He knew it was the Lord. So he replied, Lord, I didn't condemn your servant. He immediately knew who God was talking about. He was talking about that minister that got into trouble. The Lord answered him and said, who are you to condemn another man's servant? Kenneth Hagin gave the same reply. Lord, I didn't condemn your servant. Let me tell you, whenever God asks you something, he's right. You can argue as much as you want. So the third time the Lord said again, who are you to condemn another man's servant? And again, Kenneth Hagin gave the same answer. I didn't condemn him. And then the Lord replied, didn't you say, yes, I concur, yes, I agree with what the district intendant, superintendent said? Didn't you say, yes, I agree? Kenneth Hagin tried to shift the blame. He said, no, the superintendent said it. I just said, I agree. I was just quoting and agreeing with the district superintendent. The Lord said, when you said that, it was tantamount to your saying it yourself. Who are you to condemn another man's servant? He said, well, I thought the minister was wrong. I mean, didn't he do wrong? The Lord never answered whether the man did wrong or not. He again asked, whose servant is he, yours or mine? Kenneth Hagin replied, if he's anyone's servant, he's not mine, Lord. He's your servant. The Lord said, well, if he's my servant, then I'm able to make him stand. And you know, God did just that. He made that minister to stand. That man went on to become one of the most outstanding ministers in that part of the state. He was well respected, even though he'd missed it in his past. Who are we to criticize God's servants? Do you know that everything that the Lord said to Kenneth Hagin, God already told us in the Bible? Amen. The Lord didn't say anything to Kenneth Hagin that's not in the Bible. I'll read it to you. Romans 14, verse 4. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. Let me tell you, God's trying to help people stand. God is for us. He's not against us. And he said, who are you to condemn another man's servant? Who are you to judge another man's servant? The contemporary English Bible says, what right do you have to criticize someone else's servant? Only their Lord can decide if they're doing right, and the Lord will make sure they do right. Yes. There's only one judge, family, and his name, he's God. That's the only judge. A few verses later on in that same chapter, Romans 14, it says, why do you criticize and pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you look down upon and despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. It is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. And each of us will give an account of himself to God. Then let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment on one another, but rather endeavor never to put a stumbling block or an obstacle or a hindrance in the way of a fellow believer. There's one judge, man. Let God do the judging. We've got no right to criticize or judge somebody else. There is only one judge, and he is God, and we're all going to stand before him one day, and every one of us are going to give an account to him. Here's a second experience I'm going to tell you that Kenneth Hagin had. He and his wife held a meeting in a church in East Texas, and one of the ministers in that part of the state had gotten into some problems, and he had to leave his church. And Kenneth Hagin asked one of the local pastors what happened, and the pastor told him what happened. And without even thinking, Kenneth Hagin said, it looks to me like anybody that had any sense would know better than to do that. You know, sometimes we say things without thinking. It's easy to do that. I've done it myself a million times. How could he be so dumb? You know, you just judge somebody when you said that. How could he be so dumb? You just judge them. Kenneth Hagin never even thought about it. He said it without even really paying much attention. But later on, he and his wife, they closed that meeting and they went their way to, they were on their way to a convention. And during the convention, he didn't feel good physically. He wasn't feeling good. He wasn't up to par physically. And he couldn't sleep at night. He was making all the right faith confessions, you know, by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. He was confessing the word, but it wasn't helping. And on the third night of the convention, he still couldn't sleep. He got out of his bed and he got on his knees to pray. He said, Lord, if I'm feeling like this tomorrow, I'm not going to be able to go to the convention. My body feels like it's about to give out. What's wrong with me? I haven't made my faith connection with you. What's wrong, Lord? Something's wrong. And God replied and spoke to him. And this is what the Lord said. Didn't you say such and such about so-and-so? And he mentioned the minister's name. Didn't you say it looks like if he had any sense, he would never do something like that? Kenneth Hagin said, Lord, all I said is it looks like anybody with any sense would have known better than to do that. The Lord asked him, do you know that pressure that the man was under? He said, no. The Lord said, do you know the circumstances that surrounded that situation? Kenneth Hagin said, no. The Lord said, if you had been in the same position, you might not have done as well as he did. Kenneth Hagin started to cry. Tears of repentance. He cried out to God, Lord, forgive me. As soon as he repented, he was instantly healed. He was instantly healed. He received his healing immediately. He got into bed, went to sleep, and slept soundly for the first time in several days. He said it was situations like that that taught him to stop criticizing God's servants. It's so easy to condemn other people. But you might not have done as well as even that they did if you were under the same circumstances. Amen? Stop it. Don't criticize and judge others. Don't criticize men of God. The Bible says it's evil. They're not your servants. They're God's servants. Lead them. Let God take care of it. If they build a mansion, none of my business. If they buy a private jet, none of my business. Mind your business. Desist from the evil habit of speaking evil about other people. And someone said, amen, Pastor Steve. That's good preaching. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, this should be your ambition. To live a quiet life, minding your own business. MYOB, mind your own business. Make that your ambition. Doing your own work, as we told you before. The Bible says it should be our ambition in life. To mind your own business. Why do you think God said that? Because it's so easy to want to get into other people's business. Let me tell you, some of you, the whole reason you're here today, God wanted you in church today just to hear that one thing, mind your own business. It was worth coming to church just for that today. Some of us, we're so caught up, we're so busy in everybody else's affairs. Some of us, we're so nosy, always looking for something new to talk about. Some people, their tongue's so long, they can sit in the den and lick a spoon in the kitchen. I know that may not sound very spiritual today, but it's right out of the Bible. Some of the best advice I can give you is mind your own business. Quit being so nosy. Quit wanting the latest scoop on everybody. Quit prying around in everybody else's affairs, looking for that one juicy tidbit of information. God is warning us, judge not, so that you won't be judged. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 1. He said, do not judge and criticize and condemn others so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourself. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned. And in accordance with the measure that you use to deal out to others, it'll be dealt out again to you. Why do you stare at the very small particle that is in your brother's eye, but you don't become aware of and consider the beam of timber, the log that is in your own eye, the telephone pole that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me get out that tiny speck out of your eye when there's a beam of timber in your own eye, you hypocrite? First get the beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eye. The Passion Bible says it like this. Refuse to be a critic. Say, I refuse to be a critic. Refuse to be a critic full of bias toward others, and judgment will not be passed on you. For you will be judged by the same standard that you've used to judge others. The measurement you use on them will be used on you. Do you know why I try to be merciful to people? Because I want mercy for me. Why would you focus on the flaw in someone else's life and yet fail to notice the glaring flaws in your own life? How can you say to your friend, let me show you where you're wrong, when you're guilty of even more? You're being hypocritical and a hypocrite. First acknowledge your own blind spots and deal with them, and then you'll be capable of dealing with the blind spots of your friend. Too many people go through life focused on what's wrong instead of focused on what's right. Some people develop this habit of seeing the negative. Let me tell you, in life, no matter how much good there is, you can always find something bad if you look for it. You can always find some fault, some weakness, something you don't understand, or you can develop an eye for the good. We can either develop an eye for the good, or we can develop a critical eye. And I think this is important in relationships, because you can train yourself to see someone's strengths, or you can train yourself to see their weaknesses. You can focus on what you like about your spouse and you can magnify all their good qualities, or you can focus on what you don't like and magnify the things that annoy you. That's why some relationships are in trouble. People have developed this habit of being negative. Now they don't see anything. They don't see anything good. Like the husband whose wife made him breakfast, and he asked for 2 eggs, one scrambled and one fried. She made them. She put them on the plate. When he saw them, he shook his head. She said, "What did I do wrong now? That's just what you asked for." He said, "No, I should have known it. You fried the wrong egg." Let me tell you, some people have become so critically minded, no matter what you do, it's not going to be right. Some people become so critically minded, man, they never see the good their spouse does. They've forgotten the reasons they fell in love and got married in the first place. It's because they're magnifying the wrong things. If you struggle in this area, listen, I encourage you. Make a list of the qualities that you like about your spouse. Write down the things they do that you love and focus on them. I mean, your husband may not be a good communicator, but he's a hard worker. Put that on the list. Your wife may have some weaknesses, but she's a great mother. Put that on the list. And every day, go over the list of the good things you love about your partner. Start focusing on their good qualities, because if you're negative towards your spouse and you operate with this critical spirit, it's just going to poison your whole outlook. And you won't be able to communicate correctly. You know, if you won't want to do things together, it'll affect you in every area of your life. You've got to make a switch. Start appreciating the person's strengths and downplay their weakness. We've all got things that get on people's nerves. Do you know there are things in your life that get on people's nerves? All of you, just not me. I have nothing. Right, Jill? Right? That's what you told me. No, we all got things that annoy people. We all got things that get on people's nerves. The key is, what are we magnifying? Because when we let this critical spirit rise up on the inside of us and we start magnifying the wrong things, and that's when we start complaining that the wrong egg got fried. When we're critical, we begin to nag, we begin to exaggerate, we begin to make big deals out of things that aren't really a big deal. Well, you never take out the trash, or you never spend time with me, or you're always late. I've discovered people respond more to praise than they do to criticism. Are you with me? The next time you want your husband to mow the lawn, instead of nagging him and saying, "You lazy thing, you, when are you going to have a go mow our lawn? Look how bad it looks." No, rather say, "Did I ever tell you how good you look when you're mowing the lawn? I love to see your muscles bulging. You look so handsome. You look so sexy." I'm telling you, you praise him like that, he'll be out every day mowing the lawn. Because people respond more to praise than they do to criticism. When we're constantly critical, you've got to realize the problem is not with our spouse. It's not with our boss. It's not with our circumstance. The problem's with us. Like one couple, they moved into a new neighborhood, and the wife looked out the window, and she saw the neighbor hanging her washing out to dry. Remember the ladies in the days? Way back in the day, anyone ever hang washing? You did, didn't you? Before we had a dryer. She was hanging the washing out on her clothesline, and she noticed how dirty it was. And she said to her husband, she said, "Our neighbor, she doesn't know how to wash. Her clothes are dirty. I wonder if she even uses detergent. I mean, I can't believe she lets her family wear those dirty, grubby clothes." And day after day, she kept making these comments. A few weeks later, she looked out the window and the clothes, where they were just clean and bright as can be. She was so surprised. She called her husband. She said, "Look, the neighbor finally learned how to wash her clothes." The husband just smiled and said, "No, honey, I got up early and I cleaned that window." The problem was not that the neighbor had dirty laundry. The problem was the window she was looking through wasn't clean. She was looking at everything through this tainted filter. And let me tell you, it's the same way in life, family. How dirty our neighbor's laundry, it depends on how clean our own window is. In fact, the Message Bible translates Matthew 7 in the Message Bible. It says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smear on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? If this whole traveling roadshow mentality is all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part, wipe that ugly sneer off your own face and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Let me tell you, if I'm critical all the time, maybe I've developed the habit of seeing the bad rather than the good. If I'm constantly skeptical, maybe I've trained myself to be cynical rather than to believe the best. If I'm constantly finding fault, maybe my own filter is still dirty. Maybe I'll become judgmental and condemning rather than giving people the benefit of the doubt. Because one thing I've learned, let me tell you, a critical spirit will follow you wherever you go. You can't get away from it. It's going to follow you wherever you go. You can leave one job angry, upset, bitter. They didn't treat me right. But if you don't deal with the root issue, you'll have the same problems at the next job. You'll think everybody's out to get me. Everyone's against me. Nobody can do anything right. My boss doesn't know what he's doing. It's because your window is tainted. That's why I believe parents, it's so important that we deal with these issues and that we learn to break a critical fault-finding spirit so we don't pass that down to our children. Because I remember we had one lady who used to attend our church. She was always critical. Then I met her mother, and she was the same way. She was critical about everything. I knew where she got it from. It was passed on down. She was critical toward her family, her neighbors, other ministers. And the sad thing is she'll go a whole life like that until she learns to clean her window. Because she's looking out of a window that's been tainted through a filter that's gone through years of criticism. A critical spirit will taint everything. What's the solution? Well, first you've got to realize your own window is dirty. And secondly, develop the habit of seeing the good and not seeing the worst. You know, Jesus said the world will know that we are his disciples. Why? How does the world know we're his disciples? Because of the love that we have for one another. Isn't that what it says? And you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, it says, love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Do you know that if we walk in love, and the Bible says, Jesus said the world will know you're my disciples because of the love you have, then we should believe the best of every person. The Message Bible says love always looks for the best. And the Passion Bible says love never stops believing the best. We should be looking for the best and believing the best about other people all the time. That's what love does. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Don't go to work every day focused on what you don't like about your employer. Focus on something that's right. Be grateful you have a job and you're not unemployed. Don't drive down the freeway and just see the potholes and the traffic. Look out at the beauty of God's creation. Breathe in the goodness of God. Man, I do it all the time. Like, I look where I live, man. I live in Palm Beach, man. I'm so blessed to live in Palm. Look for the good. When that critical spirit comes, you've got to deal with it one thought at a time. If you see something or someone that you don't agree with, don't be quick to judge. Don't let that critical spirit rise up. Rather say, you know what, I may not understand that and I may not agree with that, but I'm not going to be a fault finder. I'm going to believe the best. Especially now during the election time. I mean, it is unbelievable how people are judging and criticizing and cutting off their family and not talking to this one, not talking to that one. That is not what God expects from us. We can have different views politically and love one another the same. Can we not? Don't judge people by the outward appearance. When you're tempted to be critical, find fault. Remember, the enemy is called the accuser of the brethren. In Revelation 12, verse 10, it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, he has been cast down. Their enemy is the accuser of the brethren. You've got to recognize where the source is coming from. The enemy wants you to be critical. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going over to the enemy's side. I'm going to stay on God's side. I'm going to believe the best about people. I'm not going to be judgmental and critical. There may be 1,000 things I can see that's wrong with them, but I'm going to keep looking until I find at least one thing that I like, one thing that is right, and then I'm going to compliment them on that thing. Amen. I tell you what, I've been forgiven of so much. The Lord has forgiven me of so much. So I'm going to love much. And if I err, I'm going to err on the side of mercy instead of on the side of judgment. I mean, where would we be if it without the mercy of God? One time Jesus was teaching at the temple. Some religious leaders, they burst in. They threw this woman at his feet. And they said in John chapter 8, "Teacher, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery." Now, I don't have to elaborate on what that means, do I? We understand what that means. They didn't catch her in the temple. They didn't catch her out in the park. They caught her in the act. They must have been peeping Toms. And listen to what they said. "Doesn't Moses' law command us to stone to death a woman like this? Tell us, what do you say we should do with her?" They were only testing Jesus because they hoped to trap him with his own words and accuse him of breaking the law of Moses. That's what they were setting him up. But Jesus didn't answer them. Instead, he simply bent down and wrote in the dust in the sand with his finger. Angry, they kept on insisting that he answer their question. So Jesus stood up and he looked at them and he said, "Let's have the man who has never had a sinful desire throw the first stone at her." And then he bent down again and he wrote some more words in the dust. Now, the Bible doesn't say what he wrote in the dust. He might have written the Ten Commandments. And as the people were looking, they, "Oh, I broke that one. Oh, I broke that one." Or maybe he was writing the names of their girlfriends. Because I found some of the most critical people, some of the most condemning people, do the same things themselves. So it says, upon hearing that, her accusers slowly left the crowd one at a time, beginning with the oldest to the youngest, with a convicted conscience. Until finally Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there in front of him. And so he stood back, he said, dear woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one to condemn you?" Looking around, she replied, "I see no one, Lord." Jesus said, "Then I certainly don't condemn you either. Go and from now on be free from a life of sin." Let me tell you, God is not pleased when we run around pointing out everybody's faults. Someone said, "But Pastor Steve, they were wrong. They shouldn't have been living like that. They shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be going there. They're guilty. They're sinners." Only the guilty need mercy. Where would you and I be without the mercy of God? And before you judge somebody, the Bible says in Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are those who show mercy to others, for God will show mercy to them." The reason why I show mercy to other people is because I want God to show mercy to me. I'm not going to be condemning. I'm not going to be a fault finder. I'm going to keep my Windex handy. I'm going to keep my windows clean. Instead of criticizing someone who makes a mistake, the scripture tells us in Galatians 6:1, "Dear brothers and sisters, if a Christian is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help him back onto the right path, remembering the next time it might be one of you who is in the wrong." The Message Bible says, if someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. You see, when you criticize someone else for making a mistake, be careful, because you might be falling yourself before the day's out. People are so quick to judge, find fault, criticize if someone is not just like them, or if someone makes a mistake, if someone sins. But instead of giving people the benefit of the doubt, often they'll look down on them and begin to pick them apart, begin to condemn them. "Well, if I was If I was them, I'd never have done that. If I were them, I'd never dress like that. If I were them, I'd never drive that car. I wouldn't have taken a vacation in this economy. I wouldn't send my kids to that school. I wouldn't wear that much makeup. I wouldn't wear that kind of jewelry. I wouldn't wear those kind of shoes, that kind of skirt. Here's the key. You're not them. You're not them. You really don't know what, you don't know what you do because you've never walked in their shoes. How someone spends their money, where they go on vacation, how they raise their kids, what kind of car they drive is none of my business. I don't know about you, man, but I got a hard enough time trying to run my own life without trying to run somebody else's life. In fact, if someone takes 4 vacations a year, that's none of my business. If they drive around in a limo, if they come to church in a boat, it's none of my business. If they wear a ring on every finger and every toe, that's none of my business. Don't be nosy, because let me tell you, nosy people are critical people. They want to know all the details. They want to know the latest scoop. So they, not so they can pray for the person, not because they genuinely care about them, but because they want to hear something juicy that'll feed their flesh, and they can go to their friends and say, hey, have you heard? You won't believe what I heard about so-and-so. This is hot off the press, girlfriend. Do you know what they did? No, our attitude should be, no, I didn't hear, and I don't want to hear. I don't want to be poisoned. My ears are not garbage cans to fill up with trash. Are you with me? The Bible says in Psalm 15, Lord, who dares dwell with you, who presumes the privilege of being close to you, living next to you in your shining place of glory? Who are those who daily dwell in the life of the Holy Spirit? They are passionate, wholehearted, always sincere, always speaking the truth, for their hearts are trustworthy. They refuse to slander or insult others, and they never listen to gossip or rumors, nor will they ever harm another person with their words. Who are those who dwell in God's presence? Who are those who dwell close to the Lord? They refuse to gossip about people. They refuse to criticize people. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A twisted person spreads rumors. A whispering gossip ruins good friendships. The Living Bible says an evil man sows strife. Proverbs 18, verse 8, the words of a gossip merely reveal the wounds of his own soul, and his slander penetrates into the innermost being. The Bible says that the words of a gossip reveal the wounds in his own soul. If someone's trying to tell you something bad about someone else, don't just sit there and be passive and say, well, Pastor Steve, I couldn't help it. What could I do? I didn't say it. They were saying it. I was just listening. Sure, you can do something about it. You can say, you know what? I just remembered. I've got an important appointment I've got to get to. See you later. I've got to go. If you can't leave, say, listen, why don't we pray for that person? Instead of talking about them, why don't we pray for them? Don't let people poison you. If your friends are critical, fault finders, gossipers, can I tell you, you need to find some new friends. Because those spirits can rub off on you. You shouldn't go to lunch every day at work with people who badmouth the company, criticize the boss, gossip, complain. You say, but Pastor Steve, if I didn't go to lunch with him, I'm going to be lonely. I'll be all by myself. Let me tell you, I'd rather be lonely than be poisoned. I'd rather be lonely than allow people not going anywhere in life to keep me from my destiny. Oh, but Pastor Steve, if I don't go with them, they may start talking about me. Can I break the news to you? They're most probably already talking about you. Because if they'll talk about other people in front of you, when you're not there, they'll talk about you too. That's what I found, family. When someone says to me, you know what so-and-so said about you, Pastor Steve? I say, well, I don't want to know what they said. I want to know how come you were comfortable enough that they would say it to you. That's what I want to know. How come they felt comfortable to say that about me in front of you? That's what I want to know. I have a friend who used to work for a very well-known minister. If I called his name, you'd know who he was. One night, they were in a city. They just had a conference. After the service, two of the senior staff members, they invited my friend who was new on the staff. They invited him to come to the room. They were going to watch a sports game, and they were going to have some snacks. And so he went and joined them, and they started talking negatively about their boss, this well-known minister. And they were so critical, and they were so judgmental toward him. He was shocked. I mean, he was new on the staff. They'd been with the minister like 20 years. And something inside him just told him, this isn't right. You need to go. And so he just excused himself, said, I'm tired, I'm going to go sleep. He didn't say anything about it. But a couple of weeks later, that well-known minister called those two senior staff members in. And he said, I was praying, and I just don't feel like you're on board anymore with us. And he dismissed them both. He let them go. They've been with him over 20 years. Today, that, my friend, he's a well-known minister himself. He travels all over the world ministering. And he said, if I hadn't left that night, if I'd allow them to poison me, and if I'd become critical, I wouldn't be where I am today. See, those other two men, they were just as gifted. They had all kinds of potential. But for years, they've just floundered. They've never really been very successful. They've just gone from one thing to the next thing, never really been successful. You see, they've never walked in the fullness of what God had for them because of this critical spirit. Let me tell you, God doesn't promote a critical spirit. If people are stirring things up around you, talking about your spiritual leaders or talking about your family or talking about your friends, don't just sit there and be a part of it. It can keep you from your God-given destiny. The Bible says in Romans 2 verse 1, every time you criticize someone, you condemn yourself. Every time you criticize someone, you condemn yourself. In other words, when we judge people, we gossip about people, and we're critical about their faults, God is saying we're just as guilty as them, because our act of judgment is just as wrong as whatever act of disobedience that you're talking about. Which you judging them is just as bad. God won't promote a critical spirit. He won't promote a gossip, a fault finder, someone sowing discord. The Bible says in Proverbs 6 verse 16, are you still listening to me? Proverbs 6 verse 16, there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven, haughtiness, which means pride, lying, murdering, plotting evil, eagerness to do wrong, a false witness, sowing discord among brothers. Of the seven things God hates, three of them have got to do with your mouth. Three of the seven things God hates have got to do with your mouth. Sowing discord, telling lies, false witness. If you've got a problem with someone, the Bible says go to them face to face. If you've got a problem with someone, you should go to them and talk to them. Don't talk behind their back. You may not agree with everything. There may be things you don't understand, but don't be a gossip. Don't go around stirring up trouble, talking about people. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 28, don't talk about your neighbors behind their back. No slander, no gossip, please. If you're not behind the company you work for, you need to find another job. As long as you're taking their paycheck, you shouldn't be critical, you shouldn't be condemning, you should be loyal, you should support that organization. As long as you're taking their paycheck, you should support them. I believe windows are being cleaned today. We're wiping away judgment, wiping away criticism, wiping away fault finding. I declare it's not going to cloud our vision anymore. We're going to go out of here with clean windows, believing the best of people, seeing the good in people, minding our own business in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Because let me tell you, if you want to see good, happy days, and you want to live long, and you want to prosper, determine. You are not going to speak evil about people. Make that decision today. I'm going to refrain from speaking evil. Oh, and I'm tempted. And I've got to work on it myself, man. Some of my is watching the news on TV. Watching the news on TV, it gets me riled up. I'm like, you dumb, dumb, you so stupid. And then I'm like, oh, sorry, Lord. I mean, the guy's on TV, but I can't even say that about him on TV. You with me? I gotta. That's what God's saying. Change the channel. Go watch a comedy or something. Something makes me laugh. Get off of that, right? Praise the Lord. I declare in the name of Jesus, that God is going to fight your battles for you, that God is going to vindicate you, that God is going to give you favor, that God is going to make your wrongs right, that God is going to open doors for you, that you're going to keep on rising high. Every dream, every promise, every desire God put in your heart, you're going to see it fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're going to see that fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Move on for me if you would. Praise God. Did you get something out of this today? You receive out of this today? Amen. Say this. Say, Lord, from today, I'm going to refrain. I'm not going to speak evil about other people. I'm not going to criticize other people. I'm not even going to listen to gossip or slander. I'm going to see the best in people. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to love people. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to speak that which builds people up, not what tears them down. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Praise God. Why don't you bow your heads for a moment, if you would. Please just bow your head. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Callie. While heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, listen, there's something really important that I want to say to you today, and that is this. If you are not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, I want to pray for you. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not absolutely sure if I'm going to go to heaven. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church, and I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you today, are you sure what would happen to you if you were to die today? Because the good news is you can be sure, you can be certain. In fact, you can walk out of this place today knowing that all is right between you and God. That every mistake you've ever made in your life is forgiven and is washed away. And you can know for certain that heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is real. There is a heaven that awaits us. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Pray for me. Include me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want to make sure all is right, all is well between me and God. If that's you, won't you quickly just slip your hand up right now. Just lift your hand up high. Just lift up your hand. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. I see hands being raised today. Everybody who lifted up your hand, I'm leading you in a prayer today. And I want you to please say this prayer with me. Everybody. In fact, everybody in here today, say this prayer. Say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth just for me, to die on a cross just for me. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess Jesus is Lord, you said I would be saved. Say it with me. Say, I believe. Say, I believe. Jesus Christ, you're alive. You're the Son of God, and I ask you, come into my heart, Lord. Forgive me my sin. Come on, say it with me. Save me, Lord. Say, I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Say this. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen. Come on, give God thanks and praise today. Give the Lord praise today. Amen. Praise. Did you get something out of this morning? Praise the Lord. Well, welcome my wife back this morning.
I have to say that hit home, right? That word. You know, the Bible says Jesus went about teaching and admonishing. That means some of the things people had never heard before. So he was teaching them something new.
Thanks.
But other people knew what he was talking about, and he was admonishing them. He was reminding them of what the word said, right? I don't know which category you're in, but it works for all of us. Praise God. Well, now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And, you know, I want to talk to you about the land of best. Do you know that? Well, first of all, there are different ways that you can give. It'll come up on our screen. You can give online. You can. It's really simple. There's just a button to click online on YouTube. There's a link on Facebook. There's a link on our app or on our website. There's a button that says give. And thank you to those that have already given online. You can go ahead. You can give by check, credit card. However, it's by text. Many different ways to give. And I just want to remind you, I like to just encourage you when it comes to giving. God always wants to propel you into the land of best. You know, sometimes people have had misconceptions about what God wants for them. But in Joshua chapter 1, it's the story of God speaking to the children of Israel. Now, they had been in the land of Egypt, which was the land of not enough, right? They were slaves. So in a land of not enough. Then they went through the wilderness, which was the land of just enough, right? The Bible says that God gave them manna to eat day by day. And then, but God was constantly pressing them to go into the promised land, which was the land of more than enough. That's what God is doing for us. He's pushing us from, he wants us to get into the land of more than enough, right? And so the land of best is where God wants us. Don't have any doubt about that. I want to just read what God said to Joshua, and I love it because it's the first time that the word success is used in the Bible, and it's used by God to his people. God wants you to succeed. I'm just going to read one verse. It says in Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So God gives them the formula for success. He says this. He said, first, always put God's word first, right? Second, meditate on it. Think about it. Ponder it. Just like we hear the word today, don't let this be all you think about. The only time you think about it, walk out, think about the word of God. Ponder it, right? Through the week. And then thirdly, speak it over your life. So you want to be agreeing with what God says. And then fourthly, observe to do. He says, then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. God wants you to have good success, but it's going to involve doing what he says. So how does that apply with the offering? Well, the Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruit, the beginning, the first tenth. Honor the Lord. So when we read that and we understand that, in order to walk in a land of more than enough, in order to walk in God's best and success and prosperity, we got to observe to do. Amen? And then we got to speak in line with it. So today, as we come to give, we are lining ourselves up with the Word of God. We are lining ourselves up to get to that land of more than enough. Do it God's way. I encourage you, do it God's way, because His way brings good success. Amen?
Amen. Let's pray over the giving today. What
come
do you say?
Do it.
Hold your giving in your hand. If you're online, just hold it up, representing. Hold it before the Lord right now. You're going to pray? Go ahead.
Me?
Go ahead. You were going to, weren't you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Father, I thank you for each and every family represented here,
yes,
every
Lord.
Man, every woman. You know their circumstances. Yes. You know where they are in life. And I know that you want good success.
Yes.
I know that you want them to see good
yes.
days, and you want to meet their needs, and you
yes.
want them debt-free, and you want to provide everything. So,
yes.
Father, I thank you as they tithe,
yes.
as they honor you with their tithe, and as they faithfully give to you, Father. I
yes,
thank you
Lord.
That your word goes into operation in their life,
yes.
and they begin to see good success. We pray this week, Father, that they will, you'd give them favor. Yes. Those that are going for interviews or writing exams or going to talk to a new client, Father God, give them favor, yes. We pray. We pray they'd outshine, yes, everybody else. Yes. We pray, Father, that you would give them, yes, witty inventions, that you'd give them wisdom from heaven, yes, Father, so that they know what to do and how to do it, and it brings good success in their life. Yes. Thank you for new job opportunities, yes, for new doors. Open, yes, doors. Thank, yes, you for surprises and, yes, blessings, Lord, and inheritances, and, yes, just surprise your people windows this week, Father, open, with your goodness. In the name
in
of
Jesus.
Jesus'
name. Amen. Amen. Say, I receive it today.
I receive it.
Say, my God,
my God,
he supplies all my needs.
Supplies all my,
amen,
needs.
Amen. God bless you. Listen, I want to remind all the men, we are having a mighty men get together. We're having breakfast Saturday, November 28th, 9 a.m. right here. I'm going to be preaching. We got breakfast. It's going to be pancakes, crepes, eggs, the whole deal. It's going to be great. It's a great chance to invite a friend to church. Please make a note of Saturday, November 28th at 9 a.m. and join us. Come on, stand up with us as we go. There's nothing that is better than him. Amen. Nothing better.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. Into armies, you turn seas into highways. You're the
great week.